good to see everybody. We want to welcome all of you, and we are glad that you are with us and come into the Lord's house today to worship. And on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and a little bit later on, we're going to talk a little bit about how do we respond to the struggles and pressures of life. And in our last message from the last reading out of Ephesians on the lectionary, as we will be looking at that. So as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship this morning. God hears our cries and for help and delivers us from trouble. God redeems the life of those who take refuge in God. God has given us this moment for praise. Well, let's join together and do that this morning. You can turn in your hymn books to hymn number 51, Crown Him with Many Crowns, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint there for the verses, and we'll be singing 1, 2, and 3 this morning. Let's join together then this morning for our opening prayer. God of majesty, you are beyond our imagining. Your wonders astound us. Receive our praise and prayer this day, and prepare us to receive your presence and promise in this hour of worship. Source, Word, and Spirit of life. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little flip there, and I'm going to invite our teachers and staff and kids that are here today. I think there's only a few today, but we're going to invite them to come up this morning.
because we want to say prayers over them. So I know some of them have already started. I know Ashley has. They've already started some of the other schools. And come on up. Aides, staff, workers, all the groups. That's all right. They can all come up. And we want to pray for them. I know also for our college students that have already gone back. I've been seeing posts this week on Facebook about the kids going back and going back to college. And so we want to pray over them. So here's what I'm going to kind of ask you to do to help me out a little bit here as we pray over them. I'm going to ask you to kind of just stretch your hands out towards them this morning. And we're just going to kind of pray God's blessing and protection over them and for this new school year. Would you do that with me? Let's do that. Lord, we just thank you right now for all of our teachers, administrators, staff, workers, aides, cooks, all of them, janitors, all the way down through bus drivers, and all of our kids. And Lord, we're just asking as some have already begun this school year and some are starting this week, Lord, that you will just watch over them and keep them safe and protect them while they're there and give them confidence, whether it's in any avenue as the teaching part or maybe as the studying and learning part, God, and just all that they do. Watch over them and keep them in your care. And we think about our college students also that have already gone back, or maybe some of them have been back. God, that you'll watch over them and keep them safe and help them to do their very best, and all of them, in this new school year, as we ask your blessing upon them. And Lord, for those that are not here today, them also, God, and all of our students and schools, as we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And you guys can go back to your seat. She's fine. Not a problem at all. And in fact, here, why don't you guys just stay here for a minute? You want to stay with me?
Yeah.
Huh? You want to stay with me? Come on. What are you having Dad for? Is Dad better than me? Yeah, she had no issue with saying that. You want to come with me? I need you to help me out this morning.
Have a seat.
Okay? Okay, put your fist out. Can you put your fist out? Oh, you're not going to? We usually can do it back there. Come on, how about your hand or fist? Because what I want you to do is put your fist right there and I want you to push. Can you push me? Can you push me? Like this. Push as hard as you can. Come on. You want to do it? Oh, come on. I'd like you to do it. The little one would give me. Push. Want to give me a fist bump?
No,
I thought she was going to do it there for a minute. I wanted you to do some pushing because I wanted to talk a little bit about pressure. When we push, we're putting pressure. See? Push on me once. Just real quick. Have Mom do it again. Oh my gosh, Mom, you can put a lot of pressure on me. Mom do it? Oh my God. Now you really put some pressure on. Now, what if we do it again, but don't just hold it there. Hold it there. Just hold it up there. Because we'll watch. I want to show you something. You do it? I thought I would get her to do it. But anyways, you know, sometimes if you do this yourselves for a minute, just kind of press. We know what pressure is like in life, don't we? And sometimes kids don't fully understand pressure quite yet. And except when they get a little older and Mom and Dad makes them clean their room or pick up their toys. Does mom make you pick up your toys? Yeah. We make Chase do that too. Or for some reason when he comes home from certain things, he just throws his socks here, or throws his shirt there, and we gotta have him pick those things up. And
So sometimes we face pressures in life, and sometimes it can be difficult, but God has given us clothes to put on. Clothes to put on to help us face all the things that go on in life. So you got clothes on, don't you? You got a dress on, right? I got my shirt. I got my pants. Daddy's got his shirt on and he's got his pants. But God gives us different kind of clothes to wear that helps to protect us when we face the pressures of life. All right? Okay, you can go on back to your seats.
It's been, I've had older ones for so long, I could talk a little bit more, but when you get the younger ones, you got to really keep it simple. And sometimes it's hard to do that. But well, as we go to our time of prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning as we go to our time of prayer this morning. Yes. Oh boy.
This morning. But a joy that it wasn't worse than it could have been. His car was completely totaled. It was horrible.
Wow, we are very thankful he's okay, even though he's banged up pretty bad. And she said her Cameron, her grandson, was in a car accident and pretty shaken up with stitches and concussion and some other things in his knee. And definitely want to keep him in our prayers. She said to me, I might be getting updates. I said, that's okay. That's okay. I got some updates this morning. I didn't realize it this morning. I had left my cell phone out in the car. And all of a sudden, the church phone rings and it's Jody. And she goes, did you get all my texts? Did you get my voicemail? And I said, I'm looking around on my desk. And I said, oh, I think my phone's out in the car. Her dad fell in the bathroom this morning and hit his head. He's on blood thinners, so he needed to be taken to the emergency room and they needed to run a CAT scan on his brain because he hit his head to make sure that there wasn't any kind of brain bleed. Well, she just texted me before church service and said, thank God there's no brain bleed. So we are very grateful for that. And yes, so I appreciate your prayers for Bruce, and he's kind of all scuffed up on his head there. And someone else this morning.
The joys of the fair, everybody participating and doing very well, even the adults that participated.
Yes, they did. I was thinking about that. Kathy and I were talking about that this morning when she got here. The kids had done so well this year with their hard work. And because I was out there seeing some of them, I walked through some of the other buildings and saw some of our adults who had entered in different things and had done well. Just wonderful. And I think that's just a great representation of our church family and the different ones and the kids and grandkids, part of the families that worked so hard and did well this year. And so we're thankful for that. Someone else, joys or concerns, yeah. Unspoken, okay. Someone else this morning.
Just lift up Jean Russell. They took her back to the hospital. She's in ICU with two kinds of infections in there on top of kidney stones also.
Okay, what was the first name again?
Jean.
Okay. Okay, so we want to remember Jean this morning in our prayers.
For my sister, Nancy Hart. She has had a cancer for 6 months. She had removed.
Did you say bladder or something with bladder?
Bladder surgery, they have something.
Okay. Okay, so Nancy, is that okay? Had a bladder surgery, so we definitely want to keep her in our prayers this morning. And someone else. Anybody else this morning?
Yeah, from the prayer chain, there's like an Adam, 8 years old, that has cancer in the nose. And then the ones that we always keep on. But we're also praying for Haiti and Afghanistan, and there was an unspoken request. Plus, I've got 4 grandkids in New York City.
Yes, I can understand. Did you say Katie?
Haiti?
Oh. Oh, the countries. I thought she was talking about a person in Afghanistan. Okay. Yeah. Yes, thank you for bringing that up because, oh my gosh, I was listening to WISO and a report on Haiti. 500,000 people lost their homes in that earthquake in Haiti. 500,000. Over 2,000 dead from that earthquake. I didn't realize it was that bad. I knew when it first happened, but oh my gosh, I was just, yes, we definitely need to keep all of those, both Haiti and Afghanistan, in our prayers, and all the folks that have just been affected there. Someone else this morning. Sorry.
Franklin Graham was asking for everybody this today to be praying for the Christians, pastors in Afghanistan. So there might be a lot of martyrs today against them. And then my grandson Levi. Just love prayers for him and the whole situation with the babies.
I didn't look it up, and I don't remember offhand, and I forgot to ask you earlier. What's Levi's last name?
DeLippo.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I want to, because I was working a little bit on the monthly calendar, and I think I want to put him back on the monthly calendar here with everything going on. And so I may need to make sure I spell his last name correctly after church or whatever. But yes, we want to remember the churches, the pastors, yes, even just the Christians in Afghanistan and everything that...
soldiers.
Yeah. Yes, the soldiers that are trying to get them out of there and all that's going on there. We faced this something similar back after Vietnam, too. So, and then for Levi. Anybody else this morning? And I thought I saw another hand.
I don't think I ever gave an update on my nephew, Danny, that we prayed for so long. But that child has turned around, and people hired him. He works at Chicago Pizza, and he's worked there for months, and he's so happy, and he's such a good kid.
Yes, amen. Thank you for sharing that this morning. What a blessing there. Yes, so, so true.
Just lifting up both my sisters, Bonnie and Becky. Becky's not home. I don't think they've been seeing her arthritis.
I thought maybe Becky was worn out from the fair, but... Yes. Somebody else this morning. Anybody else? So we have quite a few to lift up. We want to continue praying for Ellie and for Betty, continuing to ask God's touch and healing touch on both of them. I thought maybe we might see Ellie here soon. I'm not sure, but she may need, I'm wondering if she may need some therapy after sitting in a wheelchair for a while. Because I think she got some relief from that. We want to continue praying for Richard and Judy. Judy was back home. She was only down in I think it was Miami Valley for a few days after they got that taken care of when she had that small stroke. I talked to Richard and he said she's home. But definitely want to keep them both in our prayers this morning. And then... the other two also, Ellie and Betty. So, any others then? Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Bowman.
Oh, thank you for reminding me about that. Yes. Yes. So they did a cath, and I guess everything was okay, but they haven't said any more, have they?
They were someplace, and that defibrillator hit him, and he passed completely out, Barbie said yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And just scared him to death, and then he did have a cath, like you said, and she said it did put him on some different medicine, so he is a little better, but he couldn't come yesterday because of...
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I appreciate that. I didn't get to ask them about that, after the service yesterday, but yeah. So definitely. Somebody else? Anybody else then? All right. Lots of needs to pray for as she plays this morning. I'll give you a chance to pray for any of those names that come to your mind. Lift them up, and then I'll close us out. Grateful today that in the battles and pressures of life, the things that seem to come our way, sometimes they seem to keep coming our way at times. And we wonder what is going on, and we wonder why things are happening the way they are. That we can come to you and pour our hearts out to you. We can lift up even our frustrations and our concerns and our doubts and fears, and we can bring all of those to you. And that you understand. I think about the man that came to Jesus and asked for healing, I think for one of his children. And he said, help my unbelief. So today, Lord, we look to you and we're going to trust you and ask you to work in the lives of people that are hurting today. The things of life, the frustrations, the illnesses, the sicknesses, the so many different things that are a part of our lives, that we're going to lift up those people to you and ask for your touch today for them. And we do lift up those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we lift up Bruce today who fell. We lift up Cameron today who was in this accident. We lift up Jean who is in ICU battling this infection. We lift up Nancy that just had this bladder surgery and what's going on there. And Adam with his cancer diagnosis and what's battling there. For Bonnie and Becky today. For Levi, Lord, as he's recovering from surgery and the issues there. Lord, we lift up Ellie, Lord, for Bob today with whatever is happening with his heart. For Betty, God, that needs your healing touch. For Richard and Judy that need your touch today. For Uriah, Lord, whatever is going on there, you know what that need is. And the other unspoken need today. For Haiti and Afghanistan and all that has happened there, the devastation and just the things that are going on that seems out of control and frustrating, God. For those battling COVID, Lord, and these new cases of COVID that we hear about, for the churches and pastor and the Christians in Afghanistan that may be under the pressures for their very lives in some situations. God, we lift up all of these needs today, all of these people, all of these situations today. And we trust you because you told us to pray in every situation and bring our requests to you. And Lord, we're going to offer you thanks today that you are the one that hears us and you are the one that can work in these people's lives through medicine, through doctors, through people that are there to help and support and in so many different ways. And we trust you for that in those situations. God, we just are grateful today that even when we face the pressures of life, that you are there with us and that we can stand in what you have provided for us through Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we break the bread of your word in a little bit, that you will open our ears and our eyes to see and our ears to hear, that we might know the blessings of what you've done for us. And we're thankful and we're grateful. And each one that's here today, Lord, send them forth in this new week, equipped and enabled to be able to do what you've called them to do, as we're grateful today and thankful, as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that God is the one that makes a way and provides in various ways. And so we're grateful for that and thankful. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. God of light and beauty, every gift is from you. Use our gifts to give birth to a new world where needs are met and your glory covers the whole earth. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Oh, I guess. So our scripture reading this morning is coming from Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And this will be finishing out our Ephesians lectionary reading. So let's begin there. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the evil one. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavenlies. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day. And after you have done everything possible, to still stand. So stand with the belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate. Put shoes on your feet so that you are ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, several days, a man had left a meeting at a hotel, and he desperately when he was going in to travel back, the TSA agent had patted him down, and he was looking for his keys in the process, and they were not in his pockets. And so a quick search going back to the meeting room revealed nothing. Suddenly he realized that he must have left them in the car. Frantically, he headed out to the parking lot. And his wife scolded him for many times for having left his keys in the ignition in the past. So his theory is that the ignition is the best place to not lose them, because that's where he can find them every time he goes there. So he thought that his car was stolen. And as he burst through the door, he came to a terrifying conclusion. His theory was right. The parking lot was empty. He immediately called the police and gave them their location and confessed, "I think I left my keys in the car, and my car may have been stolen." Well, then he had to make one of the most difficult calls. "Honey?" He said, "I always call my wife honey in times like this. I left my keys in the car and it must have been stolen." There was this long period of silence. I thought the call had been dropped or she hung up on me. But then I heard a voice say, "You dummy, I dropped you off." There was a long silence because he was embarrassed. And he said, "Well, come and get me." And she responded, "I will, as soon as I convince the policeman that I did not steal your car." It's funny, I don't know if you noticed that I was having a little trouble reading that a little bit when I was sharing it. Sometimes I get jokes or stories like that that are in first person that says I, and I have to change it. And this was one that I hadn't changed it before I printed it off. So I was sitting there in my head changing it as I went through. I want to talk to you this morning in this last message in this series that we kind of went through almost every of the reading. I think I skipped one through the book of Ephesians. And I want to talk to you this morning about standing strong. Standing strong. And while we think about this morning, this entire message, I want you to keep one thing in mind. When Paul wrote this letter to Ephesus, he was in prison. He was under house arrest, however that was. And there is a possibility that he could have been hooked up, chained to a guard, a Roman guard, that was watching him this entire time. It depends, because it depends on how he was under arrest and what was going on in this scenario. So think about that as you think about what we're going to talk about this morning. So I have a few questions for you this morning as we begin. Is there anybody here that is under pressure right now? Do you ever feel like you live in a pressure cooker? Well, we all face struggles in life. Sometimes those struggles are the result of certain people in our lives. Sometimes those struggles are the result of choices we've made. Sometimes those struggles are the result of circumstances that we are in. Circumstances sometimes that we have no control over. Sometimes those struggles are there because of just the various pressures of life that we're going through at the time. Maybe you are facing an internal struggle. I know sometimes those struggles can be just as bad as the external ones, where the battles that are going on in your mind and your thoughts and everything else and the negative things that come to you that can put you down so easily can often be a battle. Or maybe you're facing an external struggle with someone or some situation that is outside of your control. And the key in all of this, and I think that's why Paul shares some of the things that he does through this entire letter, is responding to the struggles and pressures of life in the right way. Because I think when we do, I hope that it makes us better and stronger human beings in the process. Sometimes God uses pressures to sharpen us or knock a few things off of us that God doesn't want to be a part of our lives. And our reading today reminds us of several things that I hope will help us to respond to our struggles and pressures in the right way. And I want to focus on two of them this morning. I have preached an entire series of two or three messages before on all of the armor of God that we're going to talk about in a minute. But I don't want to focus there. I wrestled for two or three days with how this was supposed to go. And I threw this away and went a different direction. And I finally came down with something that I had peace about. And because I want to focus on another area, two areas that I want us to see. First of all, is people are not the enemy. People are not the enemy. I really want you to get a hold of this morning. Paul says there in this great passage, we are not wrestling against human enemies. I'm going to wait just a moment so we can focus our attention. Because if you don't hear anything else in this message, you need to hear this right here. People are not the enemy. Paul says we are not wrestling against human enemies. In other words, using the old King James, the church's struggle is not against flesh and blood. Why did Paul say that? Why was that important? Well, here's what I want you to hear. It's possible, and we don't know all the details, and Paul doesn't reveal as many things in this letter as he does in some of his other letters. But it's possible that the church at Ephesus was experiencing firsthand hostility from certain people or groups in the empire who might have been attacking their newfound faith in Christ. And because of that, Paul was reminding them that those people and those groups are not our enemy. Not our enemy. And here's what I want you to see this morning. People who think and act and believe differently from us are not our adversaries. I think that's important. I think the church needs to hear that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you were being personally attacked by someone? The tendency, and I've been there in so many times, our tendency is to take offense. And then when we take offense, and Scripture talks about when an offense gets in us and we take offense, then we start to think and act in ways that are not the way we're supposed to. Because we're acting out of that offense instead of God's Spirit within us. And what happens is, all of a sudden, and I've been there, I've done it, you probably have too. It's easy then, if we're not careful, to start seeing those people as our enemies. And I tell you what, I hear this kind of language a lot today. And people in power use it to stir up groups to get them to act and do things that are not Christ-like at all. And you usually hear it among politics. That's where you hear it the most. Oh my gosh, social media has gotten so bad. Where people, if they disagree with this politician, they're talking like they're the devil and the Antichrist incarnate and whatever else you want to say. You hear it in business. It's a cutthroat world out there, isn't it? In business. I feel sorry for if you want to become a part of a successful business in big places and big companies, you got to be cutthroat. It's really sad. Even in sports. Let me give you an example. Okay, so for most of my life, I've been a Bengals fan.
Gee, no.
Oh, hey, that's better than being a Steelers fan. Oh, there we go. See, now I'm doing it. No, but anyways, but I was having a conversation with somebody, and they're a Browns fan. And they said, "You're a Bengals fan?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I usually root for the Bengals, but I said, I root for the Browns." And one of my Bengals friends goes, "What? Wait a minute. Why are you rooting?" I said, "Yeah. Browns are an Ohio team." I said, "When they're not playing the Bengals, I usually root for the Browns." Oh, no, you can't do that. Like it's the end of the world or something. And then maybe that I'm making a little bit more fun of that, but some of the areas it's gotten really bad. And here's what I want you to see. If we're going to respond rightly to the struggles and pressures of life, we must remember, and here's the thing, all human beings on this planet are created in God's image. So therefore, I'm called to love them, pray for them, and bless them. If we're really going to be followers of Jesus. Now that, you don't have to, I see some of those looks. I know that's harder said than done, because I've lived there and I know what that is. And the fact that certain people may not like me or agree with me or whatever doesn't give me the right to treat them as enemies, because Christ taught us not to do that, but to do the opposite. And if we're going to stand in the battles, we have to stand in the way that Christ has taught us. People are not the enemy. Then the one that's probably a little bit more familiar is we have to stand in God's strength. We have to stand in God's strength. Paul leads this section right off. Be strengthened in the Lord. Stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the reason he says that is because God has provided the church with a series of spiritual benefits, which we usually call the armor of God, so that we can do what God has called us to do. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you what God has called us to do. So let me reinterpret a little bit, or help to give you a little bit different understanding of the armor of God real quickly here. You know what they are. You've heard them so many times when you through the years. Some of you may have memorized them all, but I want you to think about it this way. First of all, we are encircled by God's trustworthiness. That's the truth. So that we may stand in Christ's love and compassion. Why? Because that belt of truth goes around our waist. And in Hebrew thinking, the waist area, right around here, your stomach and guts, is where your compassion and love comes forth. And that's what I think is happening here. We stand in God's trustworthiness, in God's truth, and in his love, so that we can act in his love and compassion. We are clothed in God's justice, or we sometimes hear often God's righteousness, so that we may stand rightly and fairly. In other words, so that we may, in the midst of the pressures of life, we may respond to people justly and fairly and rightly. We are sure-footed in peace, so we may stand in the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. We have our trust in Christ and God, so we may stand against fiery attacks. We have our hope, the hope of salvation, so that we may stand against the attacks that come against our mind. That's where the helmet metaphor comes in. The battles that go on in our mind. And we have the Spirit, so we may stand in Christ's word and pray in every situation. Those are the spiritual benefits that we have, so that we can stand in God's strength. And here's what I want you to see in all of this. Since Christ has won the victory, we simply stand in what we have received at baptism. Now you may be saying, well, wait a minute, what are you saying? Well, Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians is that Christ has already won the victory for us. The battle has already been won. Sin and death have been defeated, even though those things are still going on. And because of that, we are called to stand in what we already have. And the question is do we know what we already have? Because the language where it says, put on the armor of God, the language of put on is baptismal language. Earlier in Paul's letter, he says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. And because Christ is the one who empowers us and enables us to stand in the struggles and face the pressures. So, I have a question for you. What are we to do then with the armor that we already have and already have received? Are we to go out and kick some butt and set things right? No. Three times, Paul says, you stand in it. That's defensive. That's not offensive. That's defensive. We stand. If we're going to respond rightly to the struggles and pressures of life, we must learn to stand in Christ and what we have received from God because of Him. I don't know what particular struggles you might be facing right now. The truth is, we all have our own demons to fight, don't we? And the truth is that we each face struggles and pressures that at times seem overwhelming. But I invite us this morning to remember, people are not our enemies, and the only way we can stand is to stand in God's strength through Christ. So here's what I want you to do. Go forth and stand. Don't go forth and worry, even though we'll probably do that. Don't go forth and fret, even though we'll probably do that. Don't go forth and get frustrated and angry and mad at other people, even though we may do that at times. No, we're to go forth and stand. Lord, help me to stand. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a couple minutes here to give some fist bumps and elbow things or whatever you want to do. Say hi to a few people, and then we'll close out with our chorus this morning. We'll sing it through twice. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear in this place. Sing it one more time. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. can hear the brush of angels' wing. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Now go forth, standing firm in God's strength. May God bless, defend, and keep us from all evil, now and forevermore. Amen.